God is good. And all the time. All right. Lots of hugging and slapping going on. As we're filing in, I'd like to welcome you to First Church. If you are a visitor or a member, let them wind down. I'd like you to look at your bulletin, and in your bulletin there is a connection card that we would like for you to fill out. No matter what, it's got a perforated edge, so go ahead and tear that off and fill that out. Put that in the offering plate. And in the way of announcements, we are going to begin a Sunday school class for young adults, and you have the great advantage of having a broad span of years to be included in that young adult class. I believe the ages we put on it are 19 to 40-ish.
Yes, so I'm still a young adult.
You're-ish, right? You're an ish. So if you fall in there somewhere, we are beginning a Sunday school class at 9 around, I believe it's November the 14th. So remember that. And today, after this service, we are having lunch bunch and served. They are serving ham balls, scalloped potatoes, slaw, green beans, and homemade rolls, and that will be downstairs after the service. Also, I want to mention Trunk or Treat. That will be this coming Sunday. Trunk or Treat, people donate the trunks of their cars. They actually drive their cars up here. They can't really donate the trunks of their cars.
Yeah.
That would involve cutting the car in half. So that would be expensive. So we need more trunks. We need more candy for that. So please talk to Deanna about that so that we can get some more trunks going.
Right now we have 15. Now, every year we've gotten more and more cars, all right? So wouldn't it be awesome? Wouldn't it be awesome if we could line our entire parking lot and even come out here in front a little bit with people that have trunks? And if you've been here before, you see how fun it is. People dress up and, wow, hey guys, what is up with this? I think we've taken a vacation or something since our 160th anniversary. I'm not used to seeing this, and I don't really care to see it again. What do you think? All right, let's make sure that this doesn't happen again. Can we get out there and say, hey, come on back, y'all? we're continuing our work in this. I'm sorry, I totally interrupted you.
It's all right,
Justin.
I'm used to it.
He's slowly getting used to that. But love you, brother.
Go ahead.
How about those Tigers yesterday? Yeah, baby. How about those Huskers? Yeah, well, wait till next week. But anyway, how about our high school football team? Yeah. They play again on Thursday, so know that this Thursday is the next time the high school football team plays. But also, how about our high school softball team? Woo! Tell you what, we have a lot to celebrate, don't we? Yes, we do. And a lot of other things that I'm sure you're not letting us in on. So make sure you share with us those things that you're celebrating so that we can announce these things. And we always love to do that. One thing we can celebrate, folks, we had 53 youth last night at the Corn Maze in Lowry City. Yes. Now, here's the deal. We took 8 vehicles, which includes the church van, to get there. Isn't that right? 8? 8 vehicles. Now, you have to understand, they were listening to the MU game, so sometimes they were doing this, going down the highway, right? But anyway, we took 8 vehicles to get there. So as you think about the ministries of this church, and one of the goals is at some point, I believe before next June, I believe is what the trustees would like, to have some sort of a bus. And that's why. Think about the gasoline and fuel that would save on mission trips and things like that. So we are really getting to the point where that is needed. Praise God, right? Praise God. It wasn't too long ago where we were lacking in that regard in this church, but this church has been energized. God has really blessed this church in that regard. So, but in that same regard, I want to tell you about something. Folks, whenever Jamie and I came to this church, one of the first things that was told us is that, Eric, the churches in this community have fallen apart as far as from one from another. And we want you to make it one of your primary tasks to bring those churches back together. Well, you know as well as I do, when people are involved, no human can do that. We have been praying hard. The leadership has, the church has, for churches to come together. And I'm going to talk a little bit about this in my sermon, but tension is good in many cases. Amen? And so last summer, things like the pool closing, things like the no activities in the community center for our children and our youth, things like the movie theater in town closing, right? Those tensions, those things that are considered negative, came out to be positive, and a bunch of us, well, it started with three of us, four of us pastors in a restaurant, and a bunch of us got together to plan and organize just community-wide activities for children and youth. That has now become BCYC, of which I'm the chair, Benton County Youth Coalition. We have a lot of churches involved with that, and we're celebrating that. However, out of that also, along with your youth director, this afternoon, we're having a life-changing event here at this church. And we would love it for you to be present, all right? The second thing we would love is if you can't be present, or even if you can, but you may not want to watch the movie, we want you to be downstairs in the chapel, because our prayer teams are going to be down there praying for our youth. Folks, you need to understand, this started with one youth. One youth brought Jamie this movie to save a life. It took him bugging Jamie for 2 weeks before she watched it. You hearing what I'm saying? Last night we found out that I believe 8 churches have said they will be here. 8 churches. Now, praise God. Now here's the thing. Guess what? I think two of those churches are from other communities. One church is from another, Climax Springs, right? A church from there is coming. Now, can you imagine, folks, one youth, and they're pushing your youth director, and then the connections that your youth director had is pushing, we could have this slam-packed full of youth to watch this movie to save a life. Amen. Now, this isn't about the United Methodist Church. This is about the youth of this community. And I tell you, folks, if we have ever come together before, we have got to come together as a church and as churches in the community to pray for our youth, to be actively involved in our youth's lives. It's a turning point, I believe, in our nation. And we have got to come together and do this. This movie doesn't mince words. It's PG-13. It talks about the issues that youth are going through. Albeit, it shows it in a soft way compared to what they experience every day in the hallways of our school and life around. But it's still enough that it's PG-13. And it is a powerful, powerful movie. And we need you to be here in support. If you can't be here but you don't mind bringing food or something, we're going to feed them at around 5:30, 5:45. And then after we're done eating, we're going to split junior high and high school, and the youth are going to lead discussions about the issues that they're going through. Now, you have to understand, school counselors are going to be here. Other counselors are going to be here, because this could very well be a life-changing event for the youth of this community, and we want to be prepared. And so please, if you're not interested in the movie, come and pray. There will be a prayer team. I think it's in the chapel downstairs during the movie. So please come and at least pray. Pray at home if you can't make it. Wherever you are, pray, please. If you want to come and be a part of this, it is going to be an awesome and amazing thing. So please do that. I've taken way too long. Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Eric mentioned that they went to a corn maze. Was it last night?
Yes.
Okay. He told me that when he got lost, he had to eat his way out of it.
Yeah.
And so, you feeling okay?
Yeah. I had to take a stomach pill, but you know.
I understand.
Everyone, please stand as we continue with our worship and with a couple of songs. We're going to start with Come Now Is the Time to Worship on the screen.
God, we come before you today lifting our voices, lifting our spirits, lifting our hands, God, to you. We thank you so much for the ability to come together and worship you, Lord, to come together of similar hearts and minds, to focus our lives upon you and all that that means for us in our life, God. We give you praise for all those who have come before us to allow us to gather here without fear, God. We thank you so much for this life that you've given us. And we ask, God, although that we know that you are here with us today already, you walked in this place with us, we want to be deliberate in asking you for your powerful presence to be here in this place, God. Wash over us with your powerful presence. Wipe all of our sins away. Bring your forgiveness to our lives, God, as we worship you. Anoint us in such a way, God, that all those dark places within us shines bright with your life. May all those dark corners of our lives be lighted with your awesome spirit, God. May evil and negative thoughts run scared from this place. May the power of your presence from this place be felt all over this community, God. May your anointing be strong with each of us. Dear God, as we come today, we thank you that we have a place to trade our sorrows to you, God, for your life. We thank you that you sent your Son to come and live on this earth as an example. And dear God, we are so sorry that we killed your Son. But dear God, through that death and the resurrection that you brought through your Son, this is a place where we can ask for forgiveness. This is a place where we can take that luggage, that bondage off of us, God, to lighten our load with your grace and your mercy. So be with us this day, God. Make us one with you and one with each other. In Jesus' holy, holy, holy name, amen. Got to get those hands going on this now. Sing it out this morning. I'm trading my sorrows.
I'm trading my sorrows. I'm trading my shame. I'm laying them down for the joy of the Lord.
Sing it out now. I want to hear you.
I'm trading my sickness.
Do you believe it?
I'm trading my pain. I'm laying them down for the joy of the Lord. We say yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord.
The words aren't hard, are they?
Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Amen. I am pressed, but not crushed, persecuted, not abandoned, struck down and not destroyed. I am blessed beyond the curse, for His promise will endure, that His joy is going to be my strength. Though the sorrow may last for the night, His joy comes with the light.
Do you believe that this morning? Here we go.
I'm trading my sorrows. I'm trading my shame. I'm laying them down for the joy of the Lord. I'm trading my sickness. I'm trading my pain. I'm laying them down for the joy of the Lord. We say yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord.
Sing it out.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Amen.
Hey, all right. You guys are sounding awesome. I am pressed but not crushed, persecuted, not abandoned, struck down but not destroyed. I am blessed beyond the curse, for His promise will endure, that His joy is going to be my strength.
Though the sorrow may last for a night, His joy comes with the morning. I'm trading my sorrows. I'm trading my shame. For the joy of the Lord. I'm trading my sickness. I'm trading my pain. I'm laying them down for the joy of the Lord.
Here we go now.
La 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 la
Give God praise. Please be seated.
All right, it's time for the kids to come on down. It's time for Kids Corner, presented by Diane Bush.
I love Jesus. I love Jesus. Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
How about you?
Sing with me.
I love Jesus.
I love Jesus.
Yes, I do.
Yes, I do.
I love Jesus.
I love Jesus.
How about you?
How about you? I love Jesus. Yes, I do. I love Jesus. How about you?
Amen.
Having the same problem as Pastor had this morning. Come on over. There we go. Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
Okay. Good morning. Good morning. Okay. Okay. That's good. That's good. I think so. Well, this is coming upon kind of a holiday season, and what are you seeing a lot of? And did you know that being a Christian is like being a pumpkin? Yes. Okay. What happens? How do we get the pumpkin? How do we get the pumpkin?
Seed grows.
The seed grows. And it grows where? In the ground. And that's dirty. And so first we have to what? Pick our pumpkin. And it'll have what all over it, maybe? What would it have on it? Dirt, mud. And we have to wash it off and clean it off, right? Well, that's what God does for us. He picked each one of us. He picked each one of you and everybody out there. And then he cleans us up. What else has to be cleaned up? Do you ever clean out the gorp inside? Yeah, pass it around. I decided not to do it here this morning because I didn't think, I knew I couldn't not make a mess. I would make a mess. So that's what came out of a little pumpkin. And that's what God does. He takes the gorp out of you. If you love Jesus, he makes you all clean on the outside and on the inside. That's right. And then you end up being something like this. A cleaned up pumpkin. But he does one more thing. What does he put on your face? A smile. He puts a smile on your face because... What does he put inside you? A light. Yes, can you see the light? You can pass it around and look at the light. You pass it around and hold it for him, David. He puts a light on inside of you. And that's for the light to shine. I want you to listen to a scripture now. And we're going to Matthew. And it's Matthew 5. This is Jesus talking. He says, Matthew 5:14, you are the light of the world. Jesus tells us that you are the light of the world. Everybody out there, you're the light of the world. And every time you see a pumpkin with a light in it, pass it on. Thank you very much. Keep going. You will know, it will remind you this week of what? That you have a light inside of you because you are the light of the world. Now, how do we keep that light going? How do we think you keep it going? We need to talk to God in prayer. That's right, in prayer. So whether you have any troubles or anything going wrong, any problems, remember, your light is doing what? Shining for God. Because he's inside and he took all the meanness out of you. All right? Will you pray with me, please? Let's bow our heads. Repeat after me. Dear God, thank you for this beautiful day. Thank you for my light. Let me shine in the world for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. All God's people said, what? Amen.
I have some joy to share with you this morning. Grayson Michael Bodie was baptized yesterday, and we're just thankful for that. We've spent a lot of time praying for Grayson, and so we're all really delighted about that and happy for Heath and Karma and also Samantha and Grandma and Grandpa. All right. We need to remember in prayer this week, many people that are printed here on your bulletin, please put this bulletin by your prayer chair this week and remember to pray for everyone listed here. And now at this time, we'll go to prayer. So please bow your heads. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this beautiful fall morning. Thank you for the rain. We needed it. It's been a beautiful fall, and we praise you for the glory of the earth. May we use this day to praise you and glorify your name. We feel your presence with us in our hearts and our minds, and we're so grateful for that privilege. You hold us up and you encourage us daily. We thank you for your word and your guidance. Help us to remember to read your word and search it, because it is there that we'll find great words of wisdom for living. And it's there that we'll get to know you, and we know how blessed we are to be one of your very own. Also help us to seek you through prayer, not just here in church, but in our daily lives. We need you, dear God. We would ask this morning that you'd be with the sick and the hurting in this church community. We ask for your healing and comfort for each one. We ask that you would help us each live lives pleasing to you. Help us spread the good news of the gospel in our communities. May your anointing be on the message this morning. May we be attentive and open to what your Spirit is putting on our hearts. Please also anoint the showing of the film tonight to save a life for the youth that will be coming. We just pray, Lord, that all their hearts will be open to your good news. We love you, Lord, and we're grateful for all your many blessings. We pray all of this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. If you have your Bibles, please turn to Matthew chapter 6. And while you're turning there, I'd like everyone to go ahead and stand. Hold your place. Use your ribbon. Use your finger. And with me, everyone say the Bible pledge. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Today I will be taught the Word of God. I boldly confess that my mind is alert and my heart is receptive. I'm about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I will never be the same. Never, never, never. I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. In Matthew 6, Jesus gives the Sermon on the Mount. And in verse 9, Matthew 6, 9, he says, "Pray then like this, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." This is the word of God.
Thanks be to God. Please be seated. The last few weeks we've been stepping through this prayer that has come to be known as the Lord's Prayer. And because this is the way that Jesus taught his disciples to pray, we learn that instead of the traditional Jewish way of considering God, Jesus wanted the disciples to think of God in a much more personal way, either Father or Abba or even what? Daddy, that's right. Now, I want to say before I go on, I hope those who have been here every week forgive me. I like to kind of step through where we've been. It's just along the journey. I drop little breadcrumbs as we come along, and I just want to remind you of those, you know, kind of like we follow the yellow brick road, right? I'm just kind of helping you come along with us. And if you haven't been here, I also want to just share with you where we have been. Jesus wants us to think of God as a much more personal figure, as Father or Abba or even Daddy. So from the very beginning, to say this prayer, you have to believe that, come on, say it together, I am a child of God, right? Once we establish that, we also realize that Jesus said, Our Father. Our Father. So in other words, not only, let's say it together, I am a child of God and I am not alone. I am part of a family. So in two small words, Our Father, we learn that to say this prayer, you have to believe that you are a child of God because you're calling God Daddy, right? This personal figure, right? So, Daddy, I am a child of God, and because of our, we're praying it. It's a communal prayer. Jesus never did anything that was personal as far as the being a Christian is concerned. It is all communal, and it's our Father. It reminds us that we are not alone. We are a part of a family. This family is to support and defend each other. It's to lift each other up in prayer and do all in our power to provide a place of healing and wholeness. When we looked at the next line of Jesus' prayer, hallowed be your name, we came to realize that this means when we're praying, we're saying, Dear God, may you be given that unique reverence which your character and your nature and your personality as you have revealed them to us demand. Now, hallowed be your name is much more beautiful, isn't it? But this is much more easy for me, at least, a simple-minded person, to understand. May you be given that unique reverence that you demand. In other words, even though Jesus wanted us to think of God as this personal figure, this, you know, even Daddy, he didn't want us to forget who God was. He didn't want us to lose the holiness of who God is, the one who was and is and always will be. Ultimately, we realize that this statement simply supported that what we find in Scripture, that God is that mathematical name. What is that again? I can't remember. It's what is that word? Axiom. That's it. God is the axiom, right? You just want to pack up and go home? God is the axiom. God's existence is the basic fact of life. And we express this reverence to God who exists and the God who is personally interested in us by living and demonstrating it in every moment of our life, both in the church and in the world. Well, then we focused on the line of our prayer, your kingdom come, your will be done. Now, Jesus' plan is that this kingdom would begin in us and the church and spread throughout the world. And although it's exciting and we celebrate whenever our expectations are met, right? Whenever exactly what we thought would happen and this great success takes place, right? And we can celebrate the victory, amen? Amen. We love those times, don't we? But the difficult thing about God's kingdom coming is sometimes things that we don't expect to happen, happen, don't they? Sometimes our expectations aren't met, or at least something else is done other than our expectations, right? And these times are scary. It feels out of control, doesn't it? Yes, no, maybe? Yeah. Now I know there's a lot of you out there that want to control your surroundings other than me. All right? Yeah, so it's kind of scary. And you know, the what's even more scary about it is whenever the kingdom of God comes, many times, and you know, we say, hey, God, I give my life to you. What we don't realize is sometimes that is literally the case. We literally give our lives, as Jesus did, to God's kingdom. Right? Those are the scary times, aren't they? You see, the kingdom of God is to confront oneself with a personal challenge in which we either accept or refuse the will of God for us. In other words, when we pray, your kingdom come, When we pray, your kingdom come, we are really praying, Lord, help me to do your will. Then we focused on, give us this day our daily bread. And once again, Jesus is stressing the community and relationships. Jesus teaches us a petition for daily bread, a petition that God will give us the simple, ordinary things which we daily need to keep our body and soul together. If you think about it, one of the most amazing things about this God is this God who created the universe, who is still creating the universe, who was and is and always will be, cares about our everyday, ordinary issues. That's pretty amazing to me. I hope it is to you too. Well, last week we moved to the next line of our prayer. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Every time we pray this prayer, we're saying, Lord, if we don't forgive others, we won't deserve to be forgiven. If we don't forgive others, we don't deserve to be forgiven. Now, we also understand, after studying that, that that also includes ourselves, right? We have to forgive ourselves, right? Maybe. Are you with me today? Is everybody tired today? Yeah. So, it has to include yourself as well as others. So when you think that there is no way you can forgive someone, you need to remember, I need to remember, that we are the disciples of Him who prayed for forgiveness for those who were nailing Him to the cross. That kind of puts our issues in perspective, doesn't it? Today, as we conclude this teaching series on the Lord's Prayer, we come to the last line in the scriptural way that Jesus taught His disciples to pray. Jesus said, "And do not bring us to the time of trial, but rescue us from the evil one." The evil one. You know, the evil one goes under two names in the Bible. Anybody want to guess what they are? Satan. Remember the church lady? Satan. What's the other one? The devil. Yeah. So, the scriptural ones are Satan and the devil. And when we're thinking about this and we look at the language, we learn that the word Satan was not originally a proper name. It was not originally a proper name. It originally meant adversary. And well, it was used seven times in Scripture as that. So two examples. If you want to write these down so you can look at them later, you are welcome to do that. Two examples are, one is in Numbers chapter 22, verse 22. The angel of the Lord is the adversary of Balaam. The angel of the Lord is the adversary of Balaam. Now, that means the angel of the Lord is Satan to Balaam. That seems kind of backwards, doesn't it? The angel of the Lord is the adversary to Balaam. Now, in 1 Samuel 29:4, if you're writing that down, 1 Samuel 29:4, the Philistines feared that David, although they're allies, okay, although the Philistines and David are allies, the Philistines feared that David would turn out to be their Satan, their adversary. Originally, Satan was not an evil character. In Job 1:6, we find that he was one of the sons of God. But he had a special function. He was the prosecuting counsel, I will say, against people. It was his function to say and to urge everything that could be said and done against people. He was our adversary in the courts of God. If you want to look that up, it's Job 1, 6 through 12. Now, in regards to the devil in Greek is diabolos. Anybody ever heard of diabolos? Okay, diabolos. Again, originally, it was neither a proper name or title. It means slanderer. Slanderer. So when the word Satan describes the adversary who is the prosecuting counsel against people and the devil, or diabolos, is the slanderer. So if you put those together, we find that the aim of the evil one is by any means to cause a breach between people and God, to break the relationship between people and God. The personification of all that is against God and all that is out to ruin us in this life and in the life to come. So when we put it like that, it makes very little difference whether we speak of evil or of the evil one. We know quite well that there is in this world a force of evil which attacks goodness and which invites us to sin. Amen? Hey, they woke up on that one. Yeah. That force may be a personal force, or that force may be what we might call the cumulative effect of all the evil acts and evil decisions that have been a part of humanity. But the point is, evil is there that breaks down that healing and that wholeness.
I just wanted to stop by and give you a little update on what's going on. Now, some of you don't have a clue as to who I am, but there's others of you that know exactly who I am. And let's be clear on one thing. I know who you are. I spend as much time as I can with most of you. And here's the part that should make you a little uncomfortable. I spent a lot of time with your children. And thanks to some of you, they don't even know what to look out for. Sure, there's times I kind of wish I did the whole horns, pitchfork, and red cape thing, but, you know, that would make it too easy for you guys. You see, the great thing for me is that I don't look like anything. I can look like just about everything. I don't have to be here. Some of the best work I do with you people is up here. Now, some of you are thinking, I'm successful, I live a good life, my family's happy, you don't have me. Well, guess what? I can take you down in more ways than you understand. I have one goal, and that's to keep you away from God. And if I can make you miserable in the process, well, bonus for me. And for those of you that don't understand the problem that I have with our Creator, read the book. It's all in there. I want you to think of all the places you've seen me in the past week. TV, newspaper, radio, movies, the internet. The internet, wow. Wow, I love that place. Do you know that I have over 420 million pages of porn on that thing? And it does almost $5 billion in revenue a year and growing. Thanks in part to many of you. Let me let you in on a little secret. And I don't mind either. You know why I don't mind? Because most of you will forget everything that was said in this service by the time you walk out those back doors. Are you ready for this? All you have to do is choose to avoid me. You want to know the best thing God ever did for me was to give you the ability to choose? You see, you can't not choose. Here's the greatest thing about it. By not choosing him, you automatically choose me. Now, some of you have figured out how to keep me away. And quite frankly, there's no mystery to it. James 4:7, resist the devil and he will flee. But most of you choose to allow me free reign in your life. You know, there's that word again, choose. I have drugs, porn, infidelity, greed, lust, pride, slander, and the list goes on and on and on. But the one thing I do not have is the ability to offer you freedom. You know, to see Jesus suffer on that cross was one of the greatest moments of my life. Then when he was with me, the burning and the torture that he felt was at my hands. And I loved it. I loved every second of his torture. But you know what I couldn't stop thinking of? I couldn't stop thinking about why he was there. During that time, I could only think of one thing. That when his torment was over, it meant that all of humanity, every one of you, would have the chance for an eternal life of peace. And all you would have to do is simply choose. You know, I know how this is going to end. I know what's in store for me. I will be condemned to an eternal hell, but until that day, I will do everything in my power to unleash that hell on this earth. And as God, as my witness, if you even allow me the smallest corner of your life, I will not stop until I destroy you. And until you cry for mercy in Christ's sake, I will not let you go. When the service is over, I will be waiting. I'll be waiting for some of you at work, at school, or at home. You know, I'll even see some of you in the car outside. It's either me or him. Who do you choose?
It's a powerful question, isn't it? Who do you choose? You know, the amazing thing about that is that some of you are probably saying, oh, Eric, I chose many years ago. And that's exactly where he wants you to be. I don't have anything to worry about, Eric. I'm good. I don't know about you, but about the time I feel like I'm good, I'm ready to step off to oblivion, right? Now, I'm sure most of you, I pray that most of you, and I pray that those who haven't chosen Christ as your Lord and Savior will choose maybe even today, but soon if not. But the thing is, I have to choose more than once in my life. Do any of you? And yeah, every day. And you know what? Sometimes on really hard days, I may choose several times. Anybody else like that? You see, when it boils down to it, every decision that we make a choice. Don't we? So the aim of the evil one is by any means to cause a breach between people and God, to break the relationship between people and God, and I would say, quite honestly, between one another. The personification of all that is against God and all that is out to ruin us in this life and in the life to come is who we call the adversary, Diablos. All right, quickly, one more thing. A lot is made out of this idea of do not bring us to the time of trial. Now, think about it. Why is a lot made out of that? Well, the issue is God bringing us to the time of trial. Do you hear the issue there? How can God lead us to temptation? How can God do that? Or as some scripture says, bring us to the time of trial. They mean the same thing, so either way is fine. How do we get past this? Can God, the one who loves us so much that he sent his only son to show us himself and how we should live, and because of that life, we killed him, and to put an exclamation point of affirmation on Jesus' life, God raised him from the dead so that we can have eternal life with him, that God could lead us into temptation, or that God might bring us to the time of trial? How can this be? On one hand, isn't temptation and trial simply a part of life? I mean, honestly, which came first, the chicken or the egg, right? You know, as a matter of fact, it's such a part of life that it's hard to imagine life without it. Just for a second, close your eyes and try to imagine, picture your life without temptation. Now, at home, whenever I was in the darkness of my house, I closed my eyes and I was trying to think about, okay, what would life be like without temptation? And the bad thing was, my mind kept floating over here because I was tempted to think about something else. Right? What would life be like without temptation? Life is life. Life without temptation. Origen, an early Christian writer, said, "Is not man's life on earth one continuous temptation? Has anyone ever thought man to be beyond temptations of which he was aware from the day he attained to reason? Is there any time when a man is sure that he has not to struggle against sinning?" In my experience, that's about the time I'm ready to step off, right? I don't know about you, but that's just the preacher talking here. The teaching of life is that life is unthinkable without temptation. And the teaching of Scripture is that if temptation were removed from life, something irreplaceable would be lost with it. Now, when talking about this, there is much discussion around which term to use, temptation, trial, test, etc. And although I don't want to push this too far, there's something about God's testing of people. An example of what I'm talking about is in 1 Peter 1, 6 and 7, if you want to write this down. 1 Peter 1, 6 and 7, here's how the scripture goes. Pure gold, you all know this scripture, pure gold put in the fire comes out of it proved... What? Genuine faith put through this suffering comes out proved. When Jesus wraps this all up, it's your faith, not your gold, that God will have on display as evidence of his victory. Amen? What I'm talking about is this idea that I pray about all the time. You've heard me pray it. And I pray it, it goes something like this. My God, bother us just enough that we're uncomfortable. Have you ever heard me pray that prayer? Yes. God, bother us just enough that we're uncomfortable. Bother us just enough that we're uncomfortable enough that we would make a change, God. That we would have enough energy that would be created because we're uncomfortable that we would actually stand up and do something, God. Help us, bother us a little bit, God, just enough so that we have to stand up and do something about it to create healing and wholeness around us to expand God's kingdom in this world, which, by the way, sometimes may be uncomfortable. At the Catalyst conference that some of the staff went to, I'm out of breath. The theme was, the tension is good. And I thought, wow, how awesome is that? You know, here I've been praying that God would make us just a little uncomfortable, right, in our pews on Sunday morning, right? So some of you are uncomfortable and you decided not to come back, I guess. But maybe we need to get new pads or I don't know. Surely it's not the preaching. I don't know. But anyway, I thought, how cool is that? I mean, no connection at all. And we go to this Catalyst conference in Atlanta, Georgia, and they say tension is good. Very seldom can you get ministry done without some tension. And I thought, wow. That is, you know, one thing about it, okay? Whenever you think about the body, as an example, Okay? Think about the body. If we were comfortable, the old term is a couch potato. All right? If we are comfortable sitting around doing nothing, what happens to our body? It atrophies, right? As a matter of fact, any of you who've been in the hospital for a week or more, you experienced it firsthand how the body atrophies, right? Now, a couch potato you always think of as someone who's eating all the time and you know, kind of the blob with skin on type person, right? Right? I mean, honestly, out of shape. You know, no shape in the body at all. That's what you normally think about. But you know what? When you work the body, the body is the only machine that the harder you work it, the better it is. You ever thought about that? Now, whenever I was taking biochemistry and microbiology and stuff like that in college, muscles are the coolest thing. They're made out of tendon, or, well, I don't know how to even, they're like cellular structures that look similar to this. All right? And whenever you relax your muscle, there are chemicals in there that allow those things to release, and so it pulls this way. Now, don't get me wrong, it doesn't pull itself. You have another opposing muscle that pulls it, right? The whole entire body is that way. There's on switches and off switches. And you know when we have problems? Sometimes they're called diseases. That's when there's an on switch but no off switch. Did you know that? Many of the issues that we have as human beings is because there's on switches, and for some reason in the mix-up of all the chemicals, there's no off switch. Right? And so many people have this disease, I don't know the name of it, where they eat themselves. Right? Their bodies, they think the white blood cells attack everything because they think it's a foreign body. Well, there's not a protein to shut off those white blood cells, all right? So here's the muscles, right? And so when you relax, it causes that when you relax, it causes a chemical to go through there to allow those tendons, those fibers, to pull apart, right? Now, whenever you contract your muscle, it makes those muscles come back together like this. This is literally what it looks like, muscles look like, all right? Now, the thing is, whenever you're bodybuilding or trying to get stronger, or why the coach runs you in football or basketball at the first of the season, is because to make this muscle improve, you have to stretch it a little bit. You have to tear those fibers. Because what happens when there's an injury in the body? What happens? It heals itself. Man, I got to work hard for this. Whew. It heals itself, right? So what happens when it heals, it becomes stronger, right? And every time you pull, I'm not talking about a literal tear, but to fibers that are microscopic, it doesn't take much. And every time you pull that in bodybuilding and weightlifting, that's what you're doing. You're tearing your muscles. That's why you're sore with lactic acid and such. The body's going in there to repair those muscles, right? And that's what makes you stronger. Exactly. Think about our spiritual life. Whenever everything is going well, what do? Man, I'm on easy street today, God. Hey, you know what? I haven't needed you for a while, so why don't I just place you in this box over here? Don't we? Remember 3 or 4 weeks ago when I did the sermon about slow fade? And remember, whenever you make a decision, you take a small step. Oh, that's not bad. Oh, that's not bad at all. And then you make another small step or another decision. And a month later, you look back and you've walked clear across the room into this immoral lifestyle. You remember that? Yeah. Well, I mean, if you think about it, whenever our spiritual life, when everything is going well, we're going to have to buy new carpet because I'm going to wear it out. Whenever everything is going well, and we make that one little step, and God says, oh, wait a minute. Hey, now, just wait. This is that God-given voice that I gave you, right? You know that's not right. That's going to lead to something that's really bad. Oh, but God, there's nothing wrong with this. Oh, yeah, but Eric, I know what happens when you get across the room. Don't go that way. I'm telling you. God, it's all right. Here, let me just put you over here. And Eric keeps walking across the room. And my life gets worse. And for some of us, we lose our spouse. For some of us, we lose our kids. Maybe for some of us, it's not that painful. Maybe for some of us, we just have issues with our liver because we started drinking so much. Or lungs because we started smoking so much. Right? And we're like, oh God, how could you let this happen to me. And God's over here. He's going, now, wait a minute. You put me right here because you didn't need me, remember? Remember when everything was going good and you put me in this box because you didn't need me? Right? You see, that's the way our spiritual lives are. It's just like our bodies. It's just like anything else. Eric, my goodness, where in the world are you going with this? You know what? In our limited way, let's try to think about this from God's perspective. When is it when we as human beings have the best relationship with God, the one who created us, who's known us since we were in our mother's womb? When is the time that we have the best relationship with Him? When we are in trouble. Do you think God wants it to be that way? No, God doesn't want it to be that way. But man, from a parent's perspective, oh man, I love it when my boys need me. Even though I know down deep inside they probably really don't until it comes to dinner time. Right? But oh, as a parent, that is the most amazing feeling. Whenever one of my sons sends me a card and it has a boy and a dad in hand walking on the front of it. And inside it says, Dad, some superheroes don't wear capes. See, God wants to be in relationship with you. God wants you to send Him a card. It says, you know, God, some superheroes don't wear capes. And you know what? If it takes that, a little suffering in our life, a little tension in our life, is that bad? For us to wake up and say, hey, God, this is all yours. I have no clue where I am. Diablos. This prayer, this part of the prayer for today, would be a prayer in which we ask God to be the defender and the guardian of our faith, our loyalty and our purity. That is what this section of the prayer is all about. It's like we're saying, God, keep us from flirting with temptation. Can you understand that? Keep us from flirting with temptation. Keep us from situations in which temptations will get a chance. Defend us from the assaults of temptations which come from our own nature and from the seductions of others. Defend us from the attacks of the world, the flesh, and the devil. It would be a prayer in which we ask God, the defender, to be the defender and the guardian of our faith, our loyalty, and our purity. So, does God lead us into temptation? I say no, but we're saying, dear God, be with us when it comes. Amen. If you trust me, I'd love you to close your eyes with me. I want to sing you a song. And it's the Lord's Prayer. But you know what? I hope as I sing this song, you're thinking about this journey that we've taken through this teaching series. And although we have this poetic prayer that we have spoken, many of us, all of our lives, it's much deeper, isn't it? It's much, much deeper. So if you would, close your eyes and just listen to the words and relive this teaching series. Our Father,
which art in heaven, how low would be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. This day, our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever.
Our closing song is number 364. We'll sing the first verse.
Thank you so much for being here today. My prayer is that you felt God's presence in immense ways. And my prayer is also that you never forget, let's say it together, I am a child of God, and I am not alone. As you go from this place, may you be filled with God's power and God's presence. May you know with certainty that God goes before you and prepares the hearts and minds of those that you're going to meet. So as you go from this place, be blessed. Just live the life that God has given you. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, shalom to you. Amen.